Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm your host, Delia Farquharson, and this evening's discussion was inspired by last week's discussion because, you know, I thought about how often, you know, when we talk about what's going on in our community, the violence, the police brutality, all these, senseless killings, then you wonder to yourself, you know, what is this about? And we had a caller last week who entered the conversation and suggested, this is so complex and asked for solutions. So I thought we would continue the conversation. I'm flying solo, at least at the moment, because Raymond had another engagement. But I have you, and you can always join the conversation live on 619-639-4621. That's 619-639-4621. And forgive my voice, I've had a cold, and then I think all this pollen. Ooh. So I'm suffering a little bit. But an important conversation nonetheless, because self-hatred, you know, how are we defining self-hatred? How do you define self-hatred? But self-hatred, as we're defining it, is not being able to accept who you are, where you come from, without judgment, totally rejecting in a tangible way, who you are and where you come from and what you as a person, your identity represents. So, is it though the opposite side of racism? Is that what racism is? So, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how self-hatred manifests itself in our community and in our society. So how does it manifest itself? The most likely thing that comes to mind is black-on-black crimes, right? I mean, that is the most profound way that self-hatred is demonstrated in our community. Because we so callously gun each other down. And, you know, it's really unbelievable that it's happening all over the world. And, you know, in the little island of Jamaica where I am from, you see it all the time. You see these killings. Now it's mass killings. And not just one person being shot, but three and four people being killed at a time. And we see that here too, where people just callously, without regard, just can shoot their brother or sister down. And it's like a sport. And that's really frightening, and that's really unfortunate for us as a community, that we have such little regard for each other. And in disregarding our brother or sister, we're disregarding ourselves. Because to be able to just, you know, whether it's for gang-related reasons or, you know, people shoot each other for all kinds of different things. So, you know, when you think about it, you know, you're saying to yourself, you know, in a club, you step on someone's toe, and that could cause you to get shot in the face. Right? Like, no regard. None whatsoever. So it's so easy for us to just destroy the next person. And I wonder, you know, where does this come from? Where did we learn that we can have such hatred for ourselves, such hatred for somebody that looks like us, that we can just kill them without thinking? Where did we learn that? Where do you think we learned that? Do you think it has anything to do with our experiences out of slavery? You know, this mentality of, you know, having to survive at all costs, this feeling threatened, this heightened sense of awareness, and the lack of safety that exists. So, you know, it's almost tribalistic, you know. Does that, you think, have anything to do with it? And that's what I want us to consider. You know, where does it come from? Where does this idea of self-hatred, where does it originate? You know, where does it originate? And so let's look at, you know, what some people might define it as self-loathing, you know, and that's probably a neologism, you know, a softer way of saying it, maybe. You know, but nonetheless, it's not being able to accept who you are for what you are. And the noise in the background, of course, is my neighbor's wall being torn down. But, you know, where does it come from? And I believe it has a lot to do with slavery. I really do. I think that the fact that we can, you know, we've had that experience where parents, you know, in order to survive, you know, and in order to spare their children the experience, the atrocities of slavery, you know, mothers committed infanticide, you know. They would rather see their children dead than live in slavery. Slaves jumping off the ship, they would rather die than live in those horrible conditions. And that was pre-slavery, you know. And other people who would rather run into the great wild unknown than live in slavery. And how that experience informs our sense of dread, our sense of, you know, wanting to survive. So it's not by any means an easy topic to discuss. It's not by any means a simple topic to discuss. But I think it's a necessary one for us to consider. That the hatred that we pour onto ourselves, that we've demonstrated time and time again, that's represented in the media reports of conditions in our communities, that's related to the disregard and the hatred that we see coming from others in our society, from people who say, those people with the dark skin do this or do that. And how we are represented has a lot to do, you know, in the media and how our stories are told has a lot to do in how we are regarded and how we are treated. And so, you know, all these incidents of, you hear police shooting others down, shooting men down, shooting women down, black people, black children. You say to yourself, I mean, they cannot regard us as equal or same, you know, to be able to do that. I know we're hearing more and more of these stories. And I don't know if it's that more of these things are happening or if it's that more of these things are being captured and then therefore reported. And that's what we're seeing. You know, we've always had, you know, the black-on-black crime. Does it get the same level of report? Probably not, because it's those people killing each other. So with those people killing each other, it's not really a story. You know? It's not really a story. And it wasn't really a story when, you know, the senseless killing by police officers was going underreported or unreported or twisted in some ways. So, you know, when you think about it, now that this is coming to light, it forces us as a society to examine all of it. And when we are marching, you know, and that's part of the story too, I think, now that we're, you know, now that it's coming to light, where we're seeing, you know, these senseless killings and these, shootings by white officers against black men, women, boys and girls, you know, then it's forcing us to take a different look at it. To say, wait a second, we can march. We'll march to any city to say, oh no, you cannot kill us. But how often do we see the same marches when we kill ourselves? Why don't we see the same level of outrage when we shoot ourselves? Right? Why is that more acceptable? And what message does that send? That we are not marching when the gangs are shooting each other and little boys, you know, are being recruited into these gangs to engage in these violent acts or these travesties against their communities, selling drugs and engaging in all kind of activities, legal activities. But we don't see the same level of outrage. Where is that outrage? That's what I want to know. Where is that outrage? We've seen it here in Mount Vernon. We've seen some marches, you know. But it's not sustained. But a march, when it's fresh, when the incidents are recent, but we continue to see that perpetuated. We continue to see killings of young black men by other young black men, or killing of young black women by other young black men or women. The stabbings and the shootings. We need equal outrage. Because I would suggest that that's worse. Us killing each other is worse. And it has to do with the message that sends about how we value ourselves and how we value each other. And hence, how we are portrayed and how our value is represented in the wider society. So if we are killing ourselves, we're saying to others that it's okay to kill us. That's exactly what we're saying. We're saying it's okay to kill us. It's okay to kill us because we do it willingly. So might as well join in. So I really want to see the same level of outrage. I want to see the same response every time a child is killed by gang activity. I want to see the same level of protest and riot. And I want a revolution. In response to the next young 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old that's killed as a result of gang activity. I really want to see that. Because for me, that child is no less dead. And that child, if they're killed by a brother or a sister, the pain for that parent is no less. And so I really would encourage our community to say, let's take a serious look at that. Because if we're saying that we don't want police officers senselessly killing our young men and women, then we should be equally saying we will not do the same. We will protect the lives of our young men and women, because dead is dead, no matter how you die. So I think that this conversation really needs to be widened. It really needs to involve the education of the young, because these are the ones that are out there. In Baltimore, we saw the high school students. We saw the high school students rioting in the streets, burning the buildings, burning the cars, breaking stuff. But how do those same children behave in school? How do they treat each other? How many fights occurred that day? Right? How many threats were issued? We can't be hypocritical about this. We really cannot be hypocritical about this. And so I think that's a conversation, town hall, forum, that's a conversation that we need to have about not accepting the death of our young, the deaths of our young people, no matter at whose hand. And that's troubling to me. It's really troubling to me. You know? Because I think, yeah, that the comparison that I've drawn between self-hatred and racism is real, but they are indeed opposite sides of the same coin. That we, in hating ourselves, in hating each other, in hating what we represent, and in shooting down our brother or sister, we give license to others to do it. And it's a conversation that needs to be had. It really is a conversation that needs to be had in our community. So, you know, how do we proceed? What do we look at? It's really an important question. It's really an important question. I say that more conversations need to be had about how we treat each other, what respect looks like, why we should value each other, and what does valuing each other look like? How do we represent, you know, us valuing each other? How do I show you that I see you and I respect you and that I see your life as valuable? How do I share that with my brother or sister? And how do we communicate that to our children, that we are indeed brothers and sisters and that we should indeed treat each other with respect? How do we make sure that our children learn to value their lives? And in valuing their lives and what they represent and the rich history that they come from and the fact that, you know, they're connected to something. They're connected to this rich, vibrant African history, that they represent that. And in doing so, they have to present themselves in a certain way, and they have to treat each other a certain way. You know, how do we get that across to our children? You know, is it something that we never had, or is it something that we've lost? But it's really frightening it's really frightening when I see all these, you know, incidents of young people just being senselessly taken, lives just snuffed out. And it's really sad for us. But I beseech all the adults in our, you know, who are listening and those within earshot, you know, to, like I always say, influence the child in front of you. So every time you contact, you make contact, you're in contact with a young person, you try to communicate, you know, a life lesson, and you try to show them in your dealings that you honor and treasure them, and that you see them as representative of our collective future. I think that's an important message to send to our children. I really do. So, I'm going to encourage all of us to start with that. To start by being mindful in our dealings with each other and being mindful that the children are watching us. And that we want to send a message, a strong message to our children, that they are valued. We want to send a strong message to our children that they are our future, that we care about them, and that we want our future to live. We want our future to be one of hope and optimism and joy and laughter and all kinds of positive things. And that's what we want to instill in the children. And, you know, it's not easy work. I'm not even the first one to tell you that it's not easy work. That you're going to have to love your child or love the children even when they mess up. Even when they make big mistakes. Because that's part of it. That's how they learn. And so, but reinforcing that message, no matter how many times they mess up, that you're still going to love them. You won't condone the mistake. You're still going to love them. You won't condone the mistake. But it's okay to make mistakes. And it's about what you can learn from it and how you move on from it. You know, so I think that's important. And I really want us to think about this, to reflect on it, and to be mindful that it's not acceptable. And I'm not for a minute suggesting that anybody accepts it, but it seems more tolerant. You know, we're more tolerant of, okay, or we become, you know, more accepting, or, you know, the shock of it has worn off. So I think it's really an important consideration. So, you know, I really ask you to pay attention, to consider this, to pass the word on, to encourage this discussion. All right? Until next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.